Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
It looked like he had just ran out to the store or something, you know, and that he would be right back. His bank accounts and stuff like that have not been touched. Everything that's went into his account has stayed in his account. He's definitely not the kind of person that, like I said, would just up and start a brand new life. He's got me and my sister. He's got four grandkids that he was crazy about. So I don't think that he would just go start a new life.
Everybody loved him. He was a big teddy bear. You know, he used to be a deacon at the church. You know, he was just really popular and really well-loved.
On July 24th, 2018, Marty Teague was last seen around noon near his home in Statesville, North Carolina. Within his home, he left behind his cell phone, money, and daily medication that he needed. Marty's disappearance shook the core of his family. He was a loving father that, despite his missteps and personal issues, was known to be a devoted father and grandfather. He was the type of man that would speak to his children every day if he was able to. So the fact that more than a year has gone by and there has been no word from Marty, his children know something bad must have happened to him. Since the day that Marty had gone missing, his family has been trying to get answers and have gone down as many paths as they could to find out what had happened to him. So far, these paths have led to dead ends and even more questions than answers. So what happened to Marty Teague on July 24th, 2018? I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 195 of The Vanished, Marty Teague's story. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. For this story, we had the opportunity to speak with Marty's daughter, Brittany, who had a very close relationship with her father. Here's Brittany speaking about who her dad was as a person.
He was very hardworking. He used to work third shift. So sometimes we wouldn't see each other, you know, a lot. But when we did, we were always laughing and joking, talking. He was so funny. Like, he would say the stupidest thing. And he was very, like, dad jokey. Him and my grandpa convinced me that the Planet of the Apes were real and that they fought in the war with the apes and, like, won the right to humanity as we know it today. And for the longest time, I believed that. But, no, he was just super funny and, you know, always that guy that, you know, like, I really knew that he loved me. There was never any question, you know, even whenever him and my mom got divorced, you know, and my mom had custody of us. It was never like, oh, I wonder if my dad still loves me, or, you know, he, even though he didn't always have the means to do it, he just, you know, always would try and do things for us.
Brittany also told us about some struggles Marty faced throughout his life.
He struggled with alcohol. You don't think about it when you're young like that, but looking back, I can see that he did struggle with with alcoholism for a very long time. It just progressed as he got older. And I think the whole family thinks that when he went missing, that the local police department just thought he was kind of like on a binge or something and he would come back. And then when he didn't come back, when they finally realized it was something, then it was, you know, months and months, they hadn't done anything about it.
We were also able to speak with Marty's daughter, Kansas. Here is Kansas speaking about the relationship that she had with her father and some of the events that occurred prior to his disappearance.
My dad was living with us, and we were in a really bad car accident. Myself, my husband, and my, at the time, three kids. I actually broke three out of my four limbs. I was in a wheelchair, and we were hit on by a drunk driver. Well, at the time, we noticed that my dad's alcoholism had started getting really bad, and then, unfortunately, I started having pain pills go missing. So at this point, we ended up actually, you know, we did what was best for the family, and we, you know, told my dad that he had to find somewhere else to live, you know, he needed to go get sober, things like that. And then so he had started going to AA. He was clean. He was sober. He was actually leading AA meetings. They had actually even given him a key to the AA house because he was doing so well, and he would go over there and he would, you know, start meetings and get things ready. And he was so proud because he was doing so well. And I finally had started letting him babysit my kids again. And then my sister's birthday is July 14th. I had talked to him that day. We had a little bit of, he came over and brought the kids some pizza. And then, you know, he went home. And so I didn't always talk to him every day, but my sister did. And at the time, he was living over at the apartments he was living in. And like I said, I thought he was doing really well and going to AA every day. So about 2 weeks rolled around and I hadn't talked to him, but my sister usually talked to him every other day. And I tried to call him on the 22nd was the first time I tried to call him, and I knew he hadn't been feeling well, so I didn't expect anything when he didn't answer the phone. I just figured maybe he was trying to rest. So the 24th, I actually got off work early, and I said, well, I was still trying to get a hold of him, and I hadn't, so I decided to call my sister and see if she had talked to him. She hadn't talked to him. His best friend, Brian, hadn't talked to him, which is just, for somebody not to talk to him every day is just out of the ordinary. And so I said, well, with the medical problems that he has, let's just go ahead and I'll ride over there. I went over there and I talked to his neighbor. He said he hadn't seen him in 2 days. I went over to the apartment manager and got the keys for his apartment. She let me in and I was looking around and it looked like whatever. When he left, he was coming back because his cell phone was laying on the counter. He had some cash laying on the counter, like half-eaten food on the stove and stuff. Like, it looked like he just left to run to the store or something. And anybody knows that he just doesn't leave money laying on the counter or his cell phone, because he knew even in case of emergency that he could still call 911 if something happened. So at that time, I decided to go ahead and call the police and make a police report because I was just, I don't know, I had a bad feeling that something was going on. All his medicine was still in the, you know, at the house. So just in case, I went ahead and went over to the police department, and we went ahead and decided to file a police report and get things started. And that was on the 24th. Was the last day that he had been seen or heard from anybody.
Brittany remembers going to her dad's apartment to look around after Kansas had gone over to check on him.
When we came to look in his apartment, the only thing that was gone was him, his wallet, and his keys. His cell phone was there. His wallet was wherever he was, or wherever he is. Wallet, car, and keys. Everything else was still at the house. Like I said, his medicine was there. So it literally looked like he just ran up to the store or something. And he was on several medications. He was on medication for like blood pressure and diabetes that he needed to take every day. The front door was locked, but the back sliding glass door that he never really used was unlocked, and it was slightly open a little bit, too.
Brittany told us what she remembers from the first few days after her father disappeared.
I know that they took the report. I believe they went over there that night just to kind of look. And then I think the next day they went over and spoke with some people, maybe. But I had called, this was on Thursday, I called Friday to try to get some information about it. And they told me that I had to wait until Monday to talk to the detectives that were on the case because they didn't have access to the case file. And this was like Friday night.
We know that the last time anyone saw or spoke to Marty was on July 24th, 2018. But we were curious as to who was the last person to speak with Marty. Could they have any clues as to what may have happened?
I think around lunchtime his sponsor had talked to him. But other than that, I think my sister had spoken to him earlier that morning. And she said he seemed okay and everything seemed fine. But other than that, since around lunchtime, literally it's like he's fallen off the face of the earth. He's not been seen anywhere. They have had no traces at all of his vehicle. You know, they put it in the nationwide missing persons search that, you know, his vehicle's gone. His wallet was gone. But he's had no traces of bank activity at all since the day he went missing. There's literally no leads anywhere. I would have thought by now somebody somewhere would have seen the vehicle somewhere. And we even went out and started checking like side roads or ditches or anything because we live out in the country. So maybe if he had run off somewhere, it wouldn't have been seen, you know, but we've not seen anything. We even went down the path that he would go to like AA and looked at all those places to see if maybe he'd run off the side of the road somewhere there. And we didn't see anything. So I don't know. And either my sister or his best friend, Brian, talked to him every single day. I mean, I have finally started back to work. So he tried to give me, you know, space to be able to rest and do things. But I still would talk to him once or twice a week. But the fact that he just completely has not talked to anybody or that he's not attempted to call anybody or anything, it's just, it makes me worry. I feel like something's happened.
While it may seem odd that Marty left his phone behind at his apartment, most of us are glued to our phones these days and don't leave home without them. Brittany has an idea why he may have decided not to take his phone if he went somewhere on the day of his disappearance.
I think the reason that he left it at the house was because that it had got shut off the night before. So that, well, that Tuesday, he didn't pay the bill. So his phone was off that Wednesday, which is why nobody could get in contact with him that Wednesday. And why my sister finally ended up going over to the house on Thursday. I think they have the cell phone at the PD now. And I had found several others when we were cleaning up that he had there at the house, and we turned those in as well, and there wasn't anything really on any of those either. So there wasn't any, you know, telling information on it, on anything.
Given the fact that there hasn't been any leads on the case, we asked Kansas what communication with the police has been like and what the status of the case is currently.
And that's the thing, like the police are already marking the case as inactive because they don't have any leads. And I hate to say this, but I don't feel like they have taken it as seriously. I wonder if they think, oh, he just went out on some kind of bender or something. But no, he was getting better. He was doing good. Like, my kids were so important to him. And I told him, you either get sober and get clean or you won't ever see these kids again. I said, I have to do what I have to take care of my kids. And he said that's what made him realize that he needed to take care of himself because he wanted to be able to grow up and see these kids. And the fact that he's not you know, told us where he went or whatever. That's just not like him. I mean, these kids were his whole world.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. Kansas also touched on the fact that her father had suffered from many medical issues. He had diabetes, as well as severe anxiety and depression. Brittany informed us that at one point, Marty had attempted suicide after he had gotten a divorce from their mother.
Right after him and my mom divorced, so probably 2001, 2002, somewhere in there, he had actually tried to commit suicide. He took a bunch of pills. And they found out that through that, he had, like, messed something up in his brain. And then after that, he got diagnosed. I don't know if he was diagnosed then, but he just had anxiety. I'm not sure when, but he did get put on disability for, like, anxiety. He had problems working, like, being in large crowds, stuff like that. Last year or 2 years ago, he was diagnosed. He had been in and out of rehab centers. They had just kind of figured out that there was something going on.
We know that Marty struggled with medical and mental health issues. Kansas mentioned that his medication had recently been changed, which could have affected him.
The doctor, his like psychiatrist, had recently changed the medicine that he was on as far as anxiety and depression. And so the fact that he doesn't have any of that medicine at all is what really, really worries me. My mom died 10 years ago from diabetes, so I know how important and how crucial it is that you have this medication. I mean, it literally is the difference between life or death for somebody, which shocked me that they didn't even do a silver alert because, I mean, he does have some mental issues. I would have thought that that would classify him for, you know, the silver alert. So, I mean, I have a feeling that if he's still alive, that he's not in his right mind right now. We've checked all the homeless shelters around to see if anybody had seen him or if they'd seen his vehicle or anything like that. And there's been no leads at all.
At the time that we interviewed both Kansas and Brittany, their father's 1994 Jeep Grand Cherokee was also missing. It was described as dark green with tan trim, with the North Carolina license plate, FBV6537. Kansas spoke about that and the struggle she has been experiencing since her father has gone missing, leaving behind so few clues.
So, on the way up to Mooresville, which is the next town up from us, there is a big lake called Lake Norman. And it's a huge man-made lake, which if he would have somehow drove off the road into that, there's two overpasses that actually connect to the water. They would not find his vehicle. Like, that's one of my worries, is maybe it's under water somewhere and that's why he's not being found. But they don't even want to leave any resources to looking for that. They said there's no reason for them to think of any foul play or anything that points towards, you know, needing to look for anything like that. And I'm like, I just don't feel like anything's being done at this point. And I've absolutely exhausted every single resource that I have. I mean, we literally were barely making it paycheck to paycheck, because we're still trying to catch up from the accident. I mean, I've had 7 surgeries in 23 months because of it. I should not be alive right now. That's how bad this car accident was. My left arm, I have a plate and 8 screws in it. My right wrist was completely broken. I have a pin in it. My right heel was completely shattered, and so they had to go in and reconstruct it. And everything from the middle part of my foot down is all cadaver bone. And I was in a wheelchair for 6 months. I've had to relearn to walk. They actually, the last surgery I had about 8 weeks ago was them actually having to take the hardware out of my foot because it had shifted. So, I mean, literally, my dad's not been able to be here. That's been hard because we needed help with the kids while I was out of work. But, I mean, I finally started back to work, but after, you know, 2 years of mass medical bills and being out of work and not being able to do anything, we are barely making it.
After Marty disappeared, his family had to move all of his belongings out of his apartment because his rent was due and Marty wasn't around to make the payments.
I want to say 8 months after all this happened, they finally came to my house, and whenever everything had happened, we moved the stuff out of my dad's apartment because he was paying like a half a month behind. And they told us that we either needed to pay his rent up in full or we had to move his stuff out. So we moved his stuff into my house. And the regular police did, after they came and looked through all the stuff that I had in my basement, his clothes, his paperwork. They took several items of, you know, just paperwork that he had in a box. And then they finally took his toothbrush and his hairbrush.
Investigators tried to locate Marty's Jeep to see if it could give them some new clues to go on.
They have said that they searched things. There's a lake not too far from here. And they said that they searched that. They went on boats, and I believe that they took like the radar, or they like dragged the bottom of it, or they did that. So there have been searches. From what I have heard from the police department is that they have searched everywhere that they could possibly search around here, and they have put out information to all the surrounding, you know, areas. But I assume that unless there's information of him being in another county or, you know, another state, whatever, they can't just willy-nilly go look somewhere because they don't know where to look.
Brittany explained that it's been a frustration for them to have their father missing for so long, and they just feel like they haven't gotten anywhere. She told us that Marty's case was recently reassigned to another unit, and they're hopeful that these investigators will find something new.
For a while, it was just regular PD, and then a couple months ago, it got switched over to the Violent Crimes Division. They've told us they haven't found any information. They don't know anything. I don't know if it was, you know, me and my sister kind of irritating them, saying, you know, it's been this many months and we still know nothing, or if maybe they found out something that they don't want to, you know, tell us. But it was just one day my sister said, oh, they're switching this over to Violent Crimes Division. The new detective want to come talk with us. And honestly, the new detectives on the violent crime division, they've talked to us more and been better with us than the regular PD was. You know, they seem like, even though there's still been nothing done, it seems like they care a little bit more than the PD did.
For this story, we also had the opportunity to speak with the investigator working Marty's case.
I am an investigator, Christy Cleary, with the Statesville Police Department. I work in the Violent Crimes Unit.
Investigator Cleary told us about the work she does and more information about Marty's case.
Violent crime is anything that uses a weapon, any act of violence, homicides, anything that needs extra attention, if you will, robberies, specific assaults can be part of that. So on July the 26th, 2018, we had a report from Kansas Buenos, the daughter, Marty's daughter, who actually came into the police department to report her father missing. Normal protocol is, of course, we're going to check locations, known locations, cell phones. You know, this is kind of primary officer-wise, whoever takes that initial report, because, of course, the patrol officer is going to be assigned before it gets to us as an investigator. So they're going to do the report, obtain information from the reporting party, you know, gain any additional information that could help us, vehicle information. They may check locations that they possibly could be, you know, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, work, those type of things. So they're going to do an initial, if it's something to where we feel like there needs to be a search party out, that may be something that's determined at that point. They're going to check the last known locations for them, the apartment, those type of things.
We asked Investigator Cleary about what has been done in regards to the search for Marty and the current status of the case.
There's no criminal aspect to this at this point. There's nothing that leads us to believe there's a mode of interest of anyone causing harm to Marty at this point. We don't have anything that leads to that. Whenever I obtained the actual case, we put his vehicle into a national database, into our NCIC system, and that puts that out to all agencies within the range of that system. And that means that goes out to, you know, from here to Texas, you know, if you will. So it goes out into the system. So if that vehicle was pulled over or if that vehicle was located, that will then send us a hit message that that vehicle's been located or Mr. Teague's been located, and they'll get that information to me as the primary investigator. Therefore, you know, we can do follow-ups and go out, get the vehicle, whatever the case may be. Also, with that, we've added him to a national missing person database as well. I had added him in that when I was assigned the case, so that's out there for other agencies utilize that as well. So he's in there with a vehicle. Also, we run him through plate readers within areas that we could hit, such as Charlotte has plate readers. Some of the bigger cities, you know, Atlanta or Virginia, those places actually have plate readers. We don't have them here, but what that means is, you know, they could, you know, it's automatically taking pictures of plates going through, you know, the travel system or what have you. So he was entered there early on as well. And, you know, we didn't have any hits on that either. His cell phone was home. His keys were not there. There was a little confusion about the wallet. They do think the wallet was gone. There was some cash and change laying on the bar. But as, you know, the family stated, it was very odd for him to leave, you know, money or cash or what have you on the bar, as well as his cell phone. That was just very odd for him. So I did reach out to Social Security to see if, you know, anything was being rerouted or if anything had been changed regarding his benefits. So did check with them and advise them, of course, to have his information flagged, as well as the banking system that he used. You know, we monitored that, pulled all those resources and records, and flagged those accounts.
Brittany told us that when her father first disappeared, she wondered if he had just checked out for a bit because he needed a break from the stressors in his life.
At first, honestly, it wasn't out the realm of possibilities. He had been in AA. He had just actually got his 1-year chip, like, in February January, February, somewhere around there. So he was big into AA and he was following the program and stuff like that. But he had had a struggle with it. So, you know, a little bit in my mind, I thought, you know, maybe that's what it was. Maybe he just wanted a break. But, you know, now that it's a year, I don't think that's the case.
We asked Kansas if she thought it was possible that her father had checked into a rehab facility or something along those lines that could cause him to be radio silent.
Before he's known well enough to be able to go check himself in to be voluntarily committed to get some help. So at first we thought maybe that's what he did. Maybe he just knew he was at that point where he needed a little bit of extra help. And we still have no clues, no recollection of anything, no doctors, you know, nothing have been able to lead us to any answers. So I know there's like 30-day treatment programs, but it's been longer than 30 days. As soon as he was able to get access to a phone, he would call and say, listen, this is what I've done. You know, here's my medical numbers. Here's all the information that's going on. That way, you know where I'm at and you can, you know, take care of paperwork and anything if I need to. I can't even take care of anything at this point because we don't have anything saying, you know, maybe, yeah, he's passed on. We don't have a death certificate. We don't have anything. So all his stuff is just hung in limbo at this point.
Brittany told us about another theory she has considered.
We found out afterwards that he would borrow money. He had always been kind of bad with money, but we found out that he would borrow money from different people to get through the month until he got his next check. And, you know, I don't know if maybe he borrowed money from the wrong person, somebody, you know, he didn't know very well and he couldn't pay him back and something like that happened. Or they've searched all the surrounding areas and everything like that. So if he had decided to, you know, start drinking again or something like that and gotten in a wreck, I feel like they would have already found it. So for a long time, and I guess kind of I still feel like this, but I think somebody did something with him and then did something with the Jeep.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. While speaking with members of Marty's family and with investigators, there was not much to go on to lead anyone in a solid direction as to what happened back in July of 2018. However, there was a brief mention of a woman that Marty knew, or perhaps was dating at the time of his disappearance. This woman just so happened to live in the same apartment complex as Marty. We asked Investigator Cleary about her.
It was pretty much just another contact that he had. She was interviewed just as everybody else in the apartment complex that either had contact with him or was known friends of him. She was just interviewed just as everyone else. She does still live at the apartment complex. You know, I don't know about her, you know, daily routine. I think she does work, but I think the family has reached out to her a little bit, but I guess it's hit or miss, just like everybody else we try to interview.
While investigators don't believe that this woman showcases any red flags or connections to Marty's disappearance, Brittany does not feel the same way.
He had been seeing a girl, or to hear him tell the story they were dating, to hear her tell the story they were just friends. To me, she is a person of interest. She will not go talk to the cops. She lives in the same apartment complex that he lived in. I had spoken to her a couple times. I actually went up to her work the day that he was reported missing, because I didn't know anything about her other than just hearing him say that, like, they had been out a couple times, and he told me that he really liked her and he had bought her flowers for her birthday a few weeks before. So I thought they were kind of dating, and like I said, she said they were just friends. But it's just kind of weird, the like circumstances around it. She's got family. Her ex-stepfather is, I always get it wrong, either like a lieutenant or a captain in Statesville PD. So I went to talk to someone. I believe it was that Friday that he went missing, because I wasn't going to accept that my father was missing and that I had to wait until Monday to figure out any information, that they couldn't tell me anything. So she actually told me to go up to the police department and ask for, I think it was like a sergeant or a lieutenant, something to that effect, someone higher up than just the regular police officers, and talk to them and ask them what was going on with the case. So I went up there and I did that. She actually wanted me to call her and put her on three-way and let her hear what the police said while I was up at the police department that night. Up until this point, I thought, you know, oh, okay, like it's just, you know, a friend, whatever. But something about her that night made me very suspicious. So I'm talking to this sergeant, lieutenant, whoever he is. And I start telling him, you know, hey, my dad was seeing this girl or whatever, and I kind of have a bad feeling about her. I'd like somebody to go make sure they talk to her. And it turns out that while I'm talking to him, we realize that the person that I'm talking about is his ex-stepdaughter. So he tells me that it's his ex-stepdaughter, that even though this is happening, he won't personally go talk to her. But he'll make sure someone goes and talks to her. He doesn't want to cross those boundaries. So I say, okay, you know, just make sure someone goes and talks to her, because I do have a bad feeling about her. And then said that he would make sure that, you know, someone spoke to her. So no sooner than I leave the police department that very night, she's calling me, talking about, you just talked to my stepdad. That was what made me very, very weary of Statesville PD. Whether there is anything going on or not, this sounds bad, but I don't think my dad is some important person that the police department would want to, like, murder him or, like, help cover it up or anything like that. He's just, you know, your everyday person. To my knowledge, he wasn't in any kind of activities that would get him murdered and cause the police department or someone to, you know, want to cover it up. But those events just made it very, very weird. Why would you do that? You tell me you're higher up in the police department. You tell me that you'll make sure someone talks to her about this, that you're not going to talk to her. And no sooner than I leave is she calling me saying, hey, you talked to my stepdad. So after that, I got very, very weary about dealing with the police department until they switched it over to the violent crime. I told the violent crime detectives about that, and they said that they had looked into it and that they didn't report to this specific officer, so they didn't care what he had to say. But they weren't trying to kiss anybody's ass, and if the investigation led somewhere into him, then they would look into it. The violent crimes detectives, they've been trying to talk to her. They want to bring, they want her to come to the police department to talk to them. They said that they, you know, feel more comfortable doing it on their terms. And they've given her several opportunities to come speak with them, and they haven't. They've been going from her work to her house to try and, I guess, put the pressure on her to come in, and she won't come in and talk to them for whatever reason. Now, I understand having family in the police department, you know what your rights are, you know what you have to do and what you don't have to do necessarily. But if a friend of yours goes missing, don't you want to find out what's wrong? And she had told me, oh, well, I don't know anything different than anybody else knows. So there's no reason for me to go talk to them. You don't want to go talk to the police. There's probably something going on.
Unfortunately, because of this woman's unwillingness to speak with police, nothing has come from this suspicion.
The detectives have told us not to really do anything with it on her part, you know, let them deal with her. And we've been trying to do that. But, you know, at a certain point, it's like, what do you know that you don't want to tell? The detective said that she's got some shady people on her Facebook. Now, I know necessarily that doesn't mean anything either. We all have some shady friends, but, you know, it just everything together puts her on my radar.
While we were working on this story, there was a major break in the case regarding the whereabouts of Marty's vehicle. On August 30th, 2019, more than a year after Marty was last seen, it was reported that Marty's 1994 Jeep Grand Cherokee was finally located. It was found on an abandoned property on Sane Road off of Highway 64, just about a 5.5 mile drive from where Marty was last seen at his apartment. Searches of the property were conducted, but no trace of Marty was found. However, no other information has been released in regards to what evidence may have been located inside the vehicle or on the property where it was located. According to Marty's daughters, evidence was still being processed at the time that this episode was recorded. So what happened to Marty Dean Teague on July 24th, 2018? We know that Brittany and Marty's sponsor had both spoken to him that day, and no one reported that anything seemed out of the ordinary. When his daughter Kansas went to check on him, she found that he had left his cell phone on the counter, along with some cash. Marty had also left some half-eaten food out. It appeared that he had just run out and would be back, but Marty never returned. It was highly uncharacteristic of him to leave behind certain items that were located within his home, like his medication. And even more concerning, Marty would not have gone this long without contacting his family and friends. Did some kind of tragic accident occur? Could Marty have taken his own life? Could he be out there somewhere after all this time without his important medications? Does someone out there know something and they're just staying silent? How did Marty's Jeep get out to that abandoned property? Was there more evidence located inside the Jeep or around it when it was found, and we just don't know yet? Like so many times before, we are left with more questions than answers. It's been more than 14 months since Marty was last seen, and his family is desperate for some answers. Hopefully, the recent discovery of Marty's Jeep will uncover some new clues or give detectives a new place to focus their investigation. At the time of his disappearance, Marty Dean Teague was 53 years old. He had blue eyes and gray hair. He's also known to sport a full beard that is also gray. Marty was last seen near Mallard Creek Apartments around 12 p.m. on July 24th, 2018. If you have any information regarding the whereabouts of Marty Dean Teague, please call the Statesville Police Department Violent Crimes Unit at 704-878-3535. You can follow Marty's case on Facebook at Missing Marty Dean Teague.
The most heartbreaking thing when my kids come up and say, you know, I miss Popo. Do you know where he is? Or have you heard from Popo? Or do you think he'll come back home? Like, that just absolutely breaks my heart. I don't even know what to tell them because I don't even have answers myself. These kids, like I said, these kids were his everything. Like, I feel like I have failed them because of it. Like, and I know it's not my fault, and I know the accident wasn't my fault, but it still, as a parent, I feel completely helpless because I don't have any answers for them.
There's stories where people go missing and they're found states over, or, you know, stuff, just living a whole brand new life. But I don't think that would be something my dad would do, is just up and, you know, decide to make a new life. And even if he did, like I said, he has no money. None of his accounts have been touched or anything like that. So either he has been murdered, or somebody has him and will not let him do anything. You know, and I hate to say that because I don't want to believe that, but at a certain time, you know, you kind of stop looking for him to be found and start looking for just information about what happened to get closure.
Please, you know, anyone with any information, any leads, anything like that, give me a call here at the Statesville Police Department. Reach out to us. We've followed up many leads that we've had. Anything, you know, that the community can help with him, or anyone, you know, that they may have suspicion of. Definitely still an active investigation. And, you know, we hope that something turns up. You know, we stay in contact with the family. I usually speak with the daughter probably once a week or so, just for updates back and forth. So remaining optimistic and hope that something will turn up.
That brings us to the end of episode 195. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, we have a page and a private discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering the case of a military spouse who disappeared while stationed overseas. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.